Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to feel the presence of the Lord like we feel in this house tonight? Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, He is here in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't you enjoy the ministry and music tonight? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm sitting up here thinking, this is just a little bit of what heaven's going to be like when we get to heaven. Praise the Lord. It's just a touch, just a taste of what I believe heaven is going to be like when we get there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I love Him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told Pastor Jethro, I said, when he stepped back over here from opening the service, I said, wow, what a way to open a service. Praise the Lord. You know, we ought to act like we're excited whether we are or not. But if you're really excited, you don't have to act about it. If you're really excited, it comes natural. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Your cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. Amen. So you don't have to act if you've really got it. But if you don't, and I was in the crowd like this and I didn't have a thing spiritually, I'd jump in here because it just feels good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you don't have a thing, I hope you leave with many things from the Lord tonight before this service is over. Amen. In the word of the Lord, if you have your Bibles, want to look with me tonight, turn with me to the book of Job, chapter number 1. The book of Job, chapter number 1. Now, I like these folks up here with their rags, their towels. I carry this because I don't sweat, I leak when I get going. Amen. Praise the Lord. Job chapter 1. Now I know you've been standing, but would you stand for about 3 verses of scripture tonight? Go with me to verse number 20. Job chapter 1. Verse number 20. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The word of the Lord says this. Then. I could preach right there. Matter of fact, I'm going to in a minute. I don't know about some preachers, but I don't need a half a book. Give me a word. A touch of the Holy Ghost and it's on. Then. Somebody say that. Then. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I want to share with you something that the Lord laid on my heart just a few weeks ago in prayer and study. And I want to use for this thought tonight the wounded worshiper. The wounded worshiper. I've had the Lord deal with me over the last several weeks in my preaching. And He has revealed to me that we're just common people. We're ordinary people living in a difficult world and in a difficult time. And much of my preaching, the Holy Ghost has directed toward that. It will almost seem like I'm a little bit in line with what I was talking about this morning, but that's okay. Because again, I feel the Holy Spirit here tonight, the wounded worshiper. Would you stretch your hands toward me tonight and ask God to touch me? Heavenly Father, Father, I throw myself at you tonight. Heavenly Father, I cast myself into your hands tonight. And I pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you will hide me behind the cross and you will cover me with the power of Pentecost. You will anoint me to preach like a man from another world in this house for a little while. God, that what I say tonight, Lord, will be what you would have said. Help me preach the wounded worshiper the way you would have it preached tonight in this house. Have your way, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you will supply every need in this house. I pray for this lady that's seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If it hasn't happened already, I pray it will happen before this service is over. Fill us all in the name of Jesus. And everybody in God's house said amen. You can be seated, but you don't have to stay there. The wounded worshiper. I'm not talking to anybody in this building tonight that hasn't at some time or another been wounded, felt pain. When you're wounded, your question is when you're wounded and when life unravels and when your back is to the wall, the question is, what are you going to do? We cannot control what happens to us many times, but what we can control is how we respond to what happens to us in life. What do you do? Now, I've seen some folk that when life wounds them or whatever the cause may be, I've seen some folk that sulk and pout and slip back into some old habit just for the mere purpose and reason of trying to block the pain. But I'm telling you, that doesn't work. That's not the answer. That won't bring the solace that you need. When you're wounded, do you trust the Lord? I hope so. Do you put your confidence in Him when things are not going well? I hope so. Just as I told you this morning, God has not promised us a life free from difficulties and pain and inflicted wounds. But you see, our trials and our tribulations, as we will see in this man by the name of Job, they come to us as decision points in our lives. They give to us the opportunity to trust God more than we've ever trusted Him, or we have the choice of walking away from Him and handling it on our own. If you want to handle it by yourself, He will let you. But if you want His help, He will help you. Can I get a witness in this room? Amen. They are decision points, turning points in our lives, trouble and trials, difficulties and pain. Every form of trouble is a test designed by God to strengthen us if we will allow it to. I can stand here and testify to the fact that I have gone into some tests and some trials and some troubles, but because of my faith in God, I came out stronger than I was when I went into it. Now, that doesn't make sense to the carnal man. That doesn't make sense to the unspiritual person, but to you who know God like we know God and who are filled with the power of the Spirit, you understand what I'm saying when we come out of something stronger than we were when we went into it, because God has a way of using these things to develop us and to strengthen us and to make us stronger than we were. When we think we've had all we can take, oh, help me preach in this house. When we think we've had everything we can take and we can't handle anymore, and when life has knocked the breath out of us, and we find ourselves having lost all hope and all reason for pressing on, we need to take a look at this man named Job in the Bible. For some, the book of Job is just a favorite story that is good to reference every once in a while. But for me, it's more than that. For me, it's a message of source and a source of strength and encouragement. For me, the message of Job offers some valuable insights about God, valuable insights about my personal situations, and it offers me some valuable insights on when life just absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. I've often put it this way. In my Christian journey and my walk with the Lord, I spend a lot of miles on this don't make sense to me, God street. I travel many miles sometimes wondering, God, what are you doing now? Often I find myself asking the Lord, why this? And in particular, why me? Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Job was wealthy. Job had a lot. He had plenty, but more important than his wealth, Job was a man of faith. And Job was a worshiper. But more than that, as I will hopefully be able to help you see, Job was a wounded worshiper. Oh, Jesus. He was a wounded worshiper. Now, if you really want to see something that doesn't make any sense to the carnal mind, and it's this right here. How did Job's trouble all begin anyway? Where did it all start anyway? Well, it all got started when God and the devil had a conversation. Yeah, the Lord talks to the devil. So we ought not be afraid to talk to him. Come on, there's no reason for us to go and hide and tuck our tail and not stand up to the devil. But Job's trouble all began when the Lord and Satan had a conversation. Now, it's not often that the devil tells the truth. Come on. But I guess when you're having to answer to Jehovah God, you better tell the truth. Because the Lord asked this man, Job, where you been? Or he asked Satan, not Job, he asked Satan, Satan, where you been? And for one time, this rascal told the truth. He said, I've been running to and fro, up and down, just doing my job. That's about all the credit I'm going to give a devil tonight. I'm ready to uplift God now. Come on. Running to and fro, he says. Well, the Lord looks at Satan and he says to him, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Woo! And Satan looks at the Lord and he says, I know him. I know where he lives. I know he's got 10 children. I know he's got a whole lot of livestock. I know he's a very wealthy man. I know he's got a lot. I know that you've even said of him that he's a perfect man, that he shuns evil. But Job looks at the Lord and he has, or Satan looks at the Lord and he has to say this. He says, but I can't get to him. He says there's a hedge that is around Job and everything that he has. And honestly, Lord, I've tried to get to him and I can't even touch him. Better shout while you can, because I'm fixing to tell you something. Satan is so convinced by this one thing that he tells the Lord. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm in the scripture. You preach it the way you want to preach it when you're up here. But he looks at the Lord. The devil looks at the Lord, and he says, I'm convinced that the very reason, the only reason that Job is serving you is because of all the stuff he's got. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost about to hit in here. The only reason that Job even loves you, Lord, is because of all of the blessings that he has. He says, I'm convinced that if you take away his stuff, he'll deny you, curse you, and turn his back on you. Now, here's the part we don't like. But God, being who he is, looked at the devil and said, all right, I'll take down the hedge. Oh, Lord. I'll take down the hedge. You can touch everything he's got except his life. But you can't touch his life. Now, let me tell you, the devil's not crazy. If he's a murderer and a thief, and he'll break in when he's not got permission, don't you know he'll go after somebody when the Lord says you can? So he takes off and he goes to Job. And God removes the hedge. Thus Job's troubles began. Job is sitting one day, and read it. You read it in the Bible. You read it there in chapter 1. He's sitting, and troubles lined up at the door. Back-to-back trouble. Lord Jesus. It's rough, Pastor, when they're backed up down the hallway just waiting to get in. I know how that feels. Here is Job just sitting. And he's got a first visitor that comes in and tells him, all your sheep are dead. I'm the only one left to come and tell you. Don't you love them kind of people? Standing behind that one is the next one. Job doesn't get a break. Standing behind that one is the next one. Same story, same song, verse 2. Verse 2's over, verse 3's at the door. Same song, verse 3. Four times, I think I'm right, four times. Here's what knocked the breath, I believe, out of Job. It's one thing to lose your cattle, your sheep, your oxen, and all of these things. When they stand there and tell you, your children are dead. Your sons and your daughters are just like your livestock, dead, and they are gone. Don't you know? Hang on with me here. Kind of like this morning, I ain't going to build a house on a faulty foundation. And I sure ain't worried about that clock tonight. Just hang with me here. You talk about a man that is wounded. This man has got to be wounded right now. You talk about somebody that is feeling some pain. Job's bound to be hurting right now. His wounds are deep. In fact, I'll show you something in a moment, the Lord help me, that'll prove that. Deeply wounded. Because in a 24-hour period of time, everything that he had is gone. And to cap it off, God allowed it to happen. Now, Brother Jethro, my good pastor, Pastor Charles, I believe, is the first name. I'm not going to attempt that second name right now. You see and you deal a lot of times with wounded people. But you know what? We don't pastor. You guys don't pastor, and I don't preach to very many, if any, Jobs. Because I've been around long enough to know. And I've preached long enough to know and hung around Christians enough to know. If they knew that God allowed that to happen to them, they'd divorce the church. They'd divorce God. And they'd say, if this is what Christianity's all about, I don't want it. Take my name off the book. I'm just going to go live like a hoodlum. Come on. I'm telling you about real people. Am I not telling you the truth? We don't have many, if any, Jobs much in the church today. But I want you to notice this. After Job has sat and got all of this devastating news, and he knows that the hedge has been taken down. He's lived his life up to this point behind the hedge. But he knows the hedge has been taken down and the devil has been allowed to come in and destroy everything he's had. And he's gotten all of this news. He's had the breath knocked out of him. He's knocked flat of his back. Come on, somebody. When he hears this news, the Bible said, then, he arose. Then Job arose. You may not think there's much to that, but there's more to that than we care to notice. And I want to tell you something. He made a wise decision, and we need to learn from this wounded worshiper. He's had the breath knocked out of him. He's had the very life knocked out of him. He's flat of his back. He's got a choice. I can lay here and I can wallow in self-pity. I can lay here and get mad at God. I could curse God, deny God, and turn my back on him. I could lay here and die a miserable man. But Job got up. I said, but Job got up. Look at your neighbor and say, he got up. You see, the first step to overcoming and the first step really to getting somewhere with God when you've had the breath knocked out of you is get up. Get up. Because if you lay there, the devil's going to come and just beat you up until everything in you is gone. But you need to whip the devil by getting up. Job got up. He arose. He got up. He shook himself off. And he just immediately, I believe, began to give God praise.
Hallelujah. He's lost a multitude of livestock. He's got a crowd of animals to bury. He's got 10 funerals to plan for his children. But he gets up. But he gets up. He gets up. He can lay there and be mad and blame God, but he gets up. He could have chimed in with his hypocrite of a wife. Oh, brothers, pray for me now. He could have taken her advice. You know what her advice was? The only thing he had left was a woman sitting across the room and said, "You still going to keep your integrity?" He looked at her and said, "You talk like a foolish woman. I'm getting up." Job arose. He got up. He shook himself off because he refused to lay there. Listen, as long as you lay on your back, the devil can beat you up. I said, as long as you lay there and complain about how bad it's been, the devil can beat you up. As long as you lay there and wallow in that self-pity, if you want to throw yourself a pity party, the devil will come with all the bells and the whistles and the cake and the ice cream. He'll show up at your pity party. And if all you want to do is just lay there, the devil will just beat you up and beat you up and convince you that this is all God's fault and this Christian living's not worth it. But you see, it's when you begin to move and change positions that the devil gets nervous. It's when you start to get up that the devil gets nervous, because how many times has the devil seen us flat of our back and he thought if we'll just stay there. Come on. If we'll just stay flat of our back, if we can keep the choir on their back, if we can keep the preacher on his back, if we can keep the worshipers in the congregation on their back, if the devil can just keep us on our back. But when he sees us get up, when he sees us arise to our feet, when the devil sees a little motion and he sees the church begin to change positions, the devil begins to fear and tremble, because he knows that he can't do anything with a militant church that's on her feet. He can't do anything with somebody that decides to get up and not lay there on their back. I've come to testify to somebody and tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up, hallelujah, and don't lay there any longer. Hey, somebody praise him in this house. Get up, get up, get up. Get up, get up, get up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you lay there, you'll go to sleep. God knows we don't need a sleeping church. We need a church that'll get up. We need a church that will arise. We need a church that'll stand on her feet, look the devil in the face and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, somebody. If God be for me, who can be against me? I feel a getting up spirit in here. I said, I feel a getting up spirit in here right now. I feel like the Holy Ghost is getting somebody up in here right now. Don't lay there any longer. Get up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Worship him. Then Job arose. Hallelujah. Lord, I got to walk this thing off a little bit. I feel the Holy Ghost in here heavy. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Got up. I'm trying to move on. Could it be that the Lord's waiting on somebody to get up? Some of you come tonight waiting on somebody to lay their hand on you, and your answer is just get up. All you need to do is get up. Come on. You come waiting on somebody to pour something on. I ain't got no powder. I ain't got no holy oil. I just say, get up in the name of Jesus. Kind of like the lame man at the gate, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I'm telling you that was... A man who hadn't walked in over 40 years without the name of Jesus, he received strength into his ankle bones, and he began to run and to leap and to dance into the temple of God. Why? Because he got up in the name of Jesus. His mantle. He tore his mantle in two. Which was a common practice in those days. You stand, you sit, I don't care what you do, I'm going to keep going. It ain't bothering me anything you do. If you want to run, it's very possible I'll pick off with you. I feel okay in here. He tore his mantle in two, which was common practice in those days for someone to do when they were in mourning, because the torn robe was symbolic of his torn soul and his torn mind and his torn body. Job was torn emotionally, physically. He was ripped apart, and he tore his mantle just as a way of saying to everybody else, just in case you don't know, I'm a torn man. But there's another meaning to the torn mantle. Not only was it just symbolic in saying I'm a torn man, but it was Job's way of saying, ain't gonna wear this cloak of mourning no more. You see, the devil thought he would lay on his back and wear that cloak of mourning, but Job got up long enough. He got up long enough to take off the old so he could put on the new. Hallelujah. He removed the robe of mourning from off of his body. I'm telling you, I've got a message for the church. I need to tell somebody, you need to get up and take off your mourning clothes. You've whined long enough. You've pouted long enough. You've complained long enough. You've grumbled. Oh, God, can I preach? You've grumbled long enough. Come on. You've pitched one too many fits long enough. Come on. You raised everything but good things long enough. God, I better watch out what I say here. You need to get up in the name of Jesus. Take off those mourning clothes and put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's time to change clothes. I said it's time to change clothes. It's time to take off the old and put on the new. Hallelujah. Take off the garment of mourning and put on the garment of praise. Andy shaved his head. Yeah, I didn't bring any razors tonight, Pastor. But this is too is important. Another common practice in Job's day. A male in particular, a man, would shave his head if he lost a loved one. Not just to symbolize he was in mourning, but it symbolized he was in deep mourning. Understand, Job had not just lost a loved one. He had lost a loved 10. He's in deep mourning. Common practice would shave their head. They would sit in dust and ashes. And they would take the black ashes, throw it up in the air, and allow the soot to fall upon their bodies. Thus again, sending a message to all who would see that I'm a man in deep mourning. He got up. He took off the cloak of mourning. Somebody pray for me, because it's about to get good and understand. You got to understand, I'm not from these flatlands. I originated way up yonder in the hills, so I might say good and ain't and some of that stuff, you know. But it's about to get really gooder in here. Watch this. After Job got up, having the breath knocked out of him when the devil thought he should lay there and die, he got up and took off those mourning clothes. He shaved his head. But I like what he did next. The Bible says he fell to the ground and worshiped. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. If you have, just enjoy it with me. If not, this is going to help you. When I studied that little line right there, and he fell to the ground and worshiped, I came to the understanding of a couple of things. This was not a spontaneous, involuntary fall. Come on. Understand, this man didn't just lose strength in his legs and ankles and feet and just collapse. Come on. He didn't pass out. He didn't have a heart attack. Come on. He's wounded, but he ain't dead. to the ground. He did it intentionally. Oh, you can't miss that. He did it on purpose. A wounded worshiper worshiping intentionally on purpose. He fell to the ground as he worshiped the Lord. He did it with purpose and he did it with intention. He did it to let the devil know. Are you ready for something? Are you ready for something? I said, are you ready for something? I'm about to set somebody, God's about to set somebody free right here, right now. Watch this. Even though God allowed this to happen, this was all done despite the devil. Come on. Because this wounded worshiper intentionally fell to the ground and worshiped the Lord and gave God praise, thus saying to the devil, you thought that my God was stuff. You thought my God was cheap and obstinate ashes. You thought my God was in my sons and my daughters. Job said, Mr. Devil, I'd like to let you know, I wasn't serving the blessing, I'm serving the blesser. He intentionally and purposely fell to the ground to let the devil know, hey, buddy, I belong to God. He is mine, and come what may, I will worship the Lord. Somebody praise him in this house. I came to worship Jehovah. I Well, if I had me a Hammond big tree in here, that I'd be good for another hour and a half. Look at the neighbor and say, I came to worship. You may have felt like mud when you come in here. All you need to do is get up and worship. Come on. You may have lost your job this week. All you need to do is get up and worship. Dr. Man told you got 6 months to live. He don't know everything. Get up and worship. If you died tomorrow, don't you want to go out of here worshiping? If you left home tomorrow, it wouldn't be great to go out of here praising God. I come to get somebody to praise Him on purpose. Praise Him on purpose. God is not human in intention, reason, and purpose. He fell voluntarily to the ground, and he worked it the Lord. Can't you imagine this? When you're walking, can't you imagine? Don't do that, I'll get started. The Lord. Purpose and intention. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I kind of felt the enemy trying like a sorry low down mosquito. Before church bothering me. You're not moving. Can you do that? I didn't pay him no attention, but I heard his sorry talk. You know, he said, there ain't nothing gonna happen in there tonight. You gonna struggle to get this out. Yeah, he's not gonna struggle to get this out. But God. But God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord. But God, devil. But God, devil. Y'all pardon me while I have myself a little church in here. But God, devil. Come on this side. But God, devil. fell to the ground intentionally and worshiped the Lord. Wounded emotionally, physically, probably even spiritually. It's kind of hard to throw that in there, actually, in what he did. Wounded, but he worshiped. And he did it on purpose. To show the devil. To prove to the devil, I'll serve him if I've got a lot. I'll worship him if I don't have anything. Devil just wants you to know, my hope is not in livestock. My hope is in the living Redeemer. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It's not in the text I read, but I can't shut up till I tell you. I got to tell you this. Same book, same fella, said these words over in chapter 13, I believe it is. Boy, Slimy. Yeah. Will I trust in him? That's what he said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I call that my yet praise. My yet praise. I may be hurting, yet will I praise him. I may be in pain, yet will I praise him. Hey, my kids may be living in rebellion. They're not, but if they are, I will praise him. The doctor may not give me much hope, yet will I praise him. Might not have any money in the bank, yet will I praise him. I will praise him on purpose. I will praise him with intention. I will praise him loud enough for the devil to take notice. Look, buddy, I ain't serving you. I belong to God, and in all things I will give thanks unto the Lord. Somebody clap your hands and give him praise in this house. As a matter of fact, I'd like to rub something in the devil's face real good. Can you get your praise team up here? You are put on notice. Come on down. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, I already feel it. It ain't got started yet. I already feel it, but it ain't got started yet. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice he didn't say, in everything you will feel thankful. But he said, in everything, give thanks. This is what we got to do tonight. We've already been doing it, but we're going to do it some more because the devil thinks we're through. We ain't through. We ain't through. I'm just one of these evangelists that believes in letting go and letting God. There ain't much I can do for people. And I tell you what, I can tell you about somebody who can do anything you need him to do. If you just worship him and praise him and obey him. And I tell you what, if you can give me some good old shouting music. A good old shouting song. Matter of fact, I kind of like that old red back hymnal you sang out of this morning. like that thing, and I ain't even 50 yet. But now I will be in a few weeks. I like that stuff. Is that okay, Pastor? I like that stuff. Here's what I want you to do.